a lot of that stuff. That's very interesting. When I think, you know, we're questioning everything, what questions are we asking, first of all? And who are we asking? Who are we asking these questions of? And it basically all comes down to we're asking ourselves, right? What are the big questions in life? I mean, we've all seen those cartoons with the guy who climbs up the mountain, keeps climbing, and he sees a guy at the top, the guru, and he says, "What is the meaning of life?" You know, and then there's a million different punchlines. But isn't that true for all of us, that we get to a certain point in life and we're like, okay, well, that was fun. Well, wait. And then you get to the point where it's like, what is this all about? What is the point? What am I here for? So the big questions in life, and Ramana Maharshi, who was a great non-dual teacher in India, he said, you can learn so much just by asking, who am I? And whenever anyone would ask him any question, he would say, close your eyes and ask yourself this question, who am I? Don't worry about getting any answers, but keep asking. And it's like that onion peeling away, you peel off the layers. You know, who am I? I'm a person. I'm a teacher. I'm a wife. I'm a, you know, all those roles we play. Those things change all the time. Who are we when we get right down to the core of it, to the one thing that never, ever, ever, ever changes? So who am I is the big question. What is my purpose? What am I doing here? What do you want from me, right? What is this all about? This is so good that we're asking these questions, because so many people are just sleepwalking through life, you know, going to the job thinking this is all about, you know, the money, working for the paychecks. You can go to the mall at the weekends and spend the paycheck. Getting, you know, a car so you can just get the newer model that comes out, or the newer iPhone, or the newer. But is that fulfilling? Does that feed us? Does it give us what we're looking for? What are we looking for? I think we're all looking for that peace that passed this all understanding, right? Mm-hmm. So one way we can get there is just by asking ourselves, who am I?
You know, it's so interesting, because we did do these exercises when I was in ministerial too, where you sat across from someone and you had to keep getting, who am I, until their answer got down to, it always did eventually, it might have taken an hour, but eventually the soul, we are the soul that came here to express so uniquely and perfectly. But in this time of COVID, one of the things that has happened is many of us have chosen to take more time to be meditative and to get deeper into the great beyond within, I always say, because it is there for us, and sometimes how it manifests is different. You know, Lynn and I are doing this class, The Lotus and the Lily, and Buzz said, well, what have you manifested? Because I did this about a month ago online for just meditations, but I did it privately at home. And I said, gosh, let me think about this. I had so many miracles manifest from just getting in touch with my deepest desires. And some of them, you know, I didn't even think about, nor do I think about my deepest desires. I'm like normal. It's like, how do I make the house payment? You know, all those things, you know, all those things, all the material things come into the world. And when I sat and I said, Buzz, I said, I can't even tell you, this has been miraculous what has happened in these last 18 months. And one of them is I had already planted the seeds, and my daughter wanted this also. Nobody ever sells their house where I live. Now, mind you, there's only like 6 or 7 houses on our end of a dirt road. So that's one of the reasons. But I've always felt like in paradise. You know, we have quiet, there's no street lights or anything else. And so I suggested to my daughter, why don't you build a house behind me, you know? And that was not going to be possible. And then 3 months later, the woman whose husband built the house sold her house. She'd been there 50 years. And she sold her house, and my daughter not only was able to buy that acreage, she was able to come up with the money for it, which was amazing to me. And then a few months after that, my son bought a house that was only about 5 minutes from me. Now, I don't know about them, but I got all my wishes. As they're probably regretting it ask my son-in-law. No, actually, I have. It's my son-in-law's birthday today. I don't think he's watching, but happy birthday, Ian. And he is funny and fun and always teases me about it. I always do the family prayers, and he always says, and so it is. So it is. But also, he does a lot. So the things that manifest, you don't even think about them in the material world. I get to see my grandkids every day. And that is a deepest desire, except I haven't for the last 10 days because they all got COVID. So anyway, but they're all getting a negative. I've always wanted them positive, but now I'm happy to see the negative, including my niece Winnie. Anyway, go ahead. Your turn.
So you made me think of a good point here. So when we are in meditation or when we are asking these questions, when we get an answer, we have to trust it. We have to have faith. And Vedanta is called Shraddha. And it's this faith, this conviction. And last night I saw the movie Cyrano. Have you guys seen the new version with Peter Dinklage? It is so good. Oh my gosh. It's the same story that we're familiar with. But instead of Cyrano having the big nose like he does in the theater story, he's Peter Dinklage, right? And instead of just being this shy guy, he's this very confident actor and soldier and swordsman and everything, right? But he pines for Roxanne. And it's interesting because he has so much confidence in battle and everything, even being, you know, a little person who's up against these big, I mean, talk about David and Goliath type of thing, and he beats them. He can fight 10 people at once and win. And it's because he has that confidence, right? He knows who he is. But when it comes to Roxanne, he doesn't know who he is. He forgets. He hides behind the words. You know, the Christian, the other guy who's in love with Roxanne, he doesn't have the mind, the heart, the soul. But he's in love with Roxanne, and he's gorgeous. So it's like the two of them become this one person. And the sad part, the tragedy, I don't want to give anything away, but you guys know the story anyway. The tragedy is that Roxanne loved the words. She loved Cyrano because she loved his soul. And when he's dying, Cyrano finally confesses that it was him. And she says, don't you know, I've loved you all along. It was you. It was always you. And he said, and I loved my pride. And it's heartbreaking.
Oh my God.
Because it's like he didn't trust who he knew he was. He didn't have that trust. He could do it in any other area of his life, but he was so afraid of rejection and so afraid of the what if that he couldn't go that extra step the whole time. And it's like his whole life was wasted, you know? So it's tragic. We don't want to let that happen to us. We don't want to get caught up in the well, but, or the what if, or the whatever. We need to know who we are and run with it. Believe it, trust it, embrace it, go for it, and nothing can stop us.
That was wonderful. And I remember seeing Heath Ledger in Who would have been a great, anyway, in one of those time frames. And he also wasn't, it was a takeoff on Cyrano, where he's in love with the princess and someone else is doing all the words. And so he spouts these words and she's so entranced. And then when she finds out it's not who he is, he then has to find out who he is. Mm-hmm. And then he says from his heart, and she loves him even more. Even though they're not the perfect words, the spirit behind it. And so that is what we're looking for. We're looking for that spirit behind it. And so how do we get there? We continue to live in the question, because the answers are always available to us. But once we know all the answers, I feel like I'm ignoring the cast of thousands over here. Until we know who we are, how can we bring anything authentic to the plate? And how many relationships have we had that have not been authentic? And then you get and you go, oh my gosh, this is going nowhere, because I have never been in touch with the depth of who I am, the height of who I am, in Peter's case, and whatever it takes to do that. So it may come sometimes when we're in our meditative parts as a download all of a sudden, where you get the truth of being. And I call that the mystic Scott that I always say, in that nanosecond, they knew that they knew that they knew that they were here for eternity, and that this time is like that blip in time. But it is so important, because it is so important to take with what we are given, get to the truth, and then act from that truth. And I go back to the media again. We have to, you take all the information in that you can, and then find truth of being. And I always say the four agreements, I'm going to go back to them. Be impeccable with your word. Don't personalize. Do your best. I can't remember. What's the fourth one here? Don't personalize, but there's the other one. It's it doesn't matter. And the fifth one is be in the question. Be in the question. You don't know everything on this planet. Yeah. And so, exactly. Go ahead, Lisa.
There's no dumb questions. It's right. That's the truth. Ignorance is beginningless. There's no beginning to ignorance. There's so many things in this world that we don't know. How are we going to know unless we ask? Right? Although ignorance has a beginninglessness, it has an end. What is that end? Knowledge. Knowledge solves ignorance. So when we know who we are, we don't forget. We don't forget. We just have to really claim it. And how do we get to that knowledge? How do we go from ignorance to knowledge? We ask questions. We get an education. When young guys come in to be monks in Vedanta, the older monks always say, what's your education? It's kind of like, not just like, you're going to expect us to teach you everything. What are you bringing with you? What experiences are you bringing with you that you're going to add to all of this? Because we're going to learn from each other. And they also say, before you become a monk, you must become a gentleman. What is your life experience? How do you treat people? Let's see. What have you learned from your life? All of those things are solved with knowledge.
And again, if you stay in the question, then there is an opening for you in all of this. So I'm going to close with today. All of us are the dream makers. And the dream is the real reality. It is not the shadow life. It is the reality of who we are. And who we are is so much greater than we ever imagined. And some of us are lucky. Some of us were nurtured. I imagine Bill was nurtured in music, because I know his background with his father. His father was famous and a famous musician.
His mom.
And his mom. Yeah, I knew she was a musician, but... Oh, Chattanooga. Oh, my God. His uncle wrote, his mother's brother wrote Chattanooga Choo Choo and String of Pearls. You were nurtured. Hero. Heroine.
You know what? Behind every great man, right?
Oh my gosh, I didn't. Oh my gosh.
See, that just brings up another important point, not to interrupt your beautiful ending, but okay, we all need some kind of a teacher, a guide, a mentor to look up to in this life, whether it's a parent or a pastor or minister, a monk, somebody who we can follow in their footsteps. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to do it all by ourselves. We just have to look to the many beautiful examples there are out there for us.